So I'm standing in line for something at Walt Disney World today, and I hear someone say, "So who was your first doctor?" Which, you know, that of course catches my attention because what? And the girl that was asked goes, "Oh, I can't remember his name, but it was the one in The Doctor Dances." And the one who asked the question is like, "Oh, I can't think of his name either." And they're going back and forth about this for a couple minutes. Well, maybe not minutes, but a couple seconds before I lean over and I'm just like, "Christopher Eccleston." And they both spin around to me and they're like, "Yes, thank you."
You see, I feel like those are bad Whovians.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
I have been a nerd since long before I could have heard that bookish girls should look and act a certain way. And I'll still be a geek when I am utterly antique, because I do not care what normal people say.
Hi, I'm Sue. I recently moved, and one of the first things unpacked was a TARDIS cookie jar, and I am an anomaly.
And I'm Casey, and I have a really bad Goodreads addiction, and I am an anomaly.
Welcome to Anomaly Supplemental.
Welcome!
This is our first podcast of 2013, and because of that, we have decided to talk about some of our geeky discoveries of 2012.
Yes, and just to clarify, the things we talk about weren't necessarily released, published, or anything like that during the year of 2012. Well, not necessarily. They just have to be discovered in 2012. It has to be new to us, basically.
So it's basically stuff that we've stumbled upon in the past year that is super awesome and we want to share about because it should get more exposure.
Exactly. And some of the things we are covering are, you know, already known to a lot of people, but there are some that, you know, maybe not a lot of people know about, which is why I think we're talking about this. And also, disclaimer, I am drinking a hot toddy. So this should be a very entertaining podcast. And I'm also having some coffee cake as well.
Very nice.
Well, it's a New Year tradition of mine where I kind of eat healthy, at least at the beginning of the year, and I'm doing a very extreme version of that for 30 days. Hmm. So I'm not allowed to have any sugar, any alcohol, any grains. It's all like vegetables, fruits, and certain kinds of protein.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I got off a plane from Florida less than 4 hours ago, so I'm a little bit exhausted. Well, so we'll see how this goes.
Yeah. It should be fine, right? I mean,
it'll be fun.
Where should we start is the most important question of the hour.
Well, I'll start, and it's something that I have recently become obsessed with. And one of my discoveries that actually came in the last couple weeks of 2012. And it is an app for the iPhone. I don't know whether it's on other platforms. But the app is called Apps Gone Free. And every day, you know how iTunes store apps will sometimes do promotions and take their paid apps free. This app collects them all, everything that does that every day, and then goes through them and picks the best ones and sends a notification every day with, you know, 5 to 10 different formerly paid apps that are currently free. And it's anything from games to photo editing to, like, QuickBooks. Well, maybe not QuickBooks, but tools like that. And I have gotten time management apps. I've gotten games. I've gotten a $5 photo editing app that's really fantastic. And it's all just free every day. So.
See, that's actually an app. We shared our lists with each other before the podcast, and that was one of the first things I saw. So I went onto my iPhone and downloaded it, and I am looking forward to using that app a lot.
Yeah, it's great. And because they're all free, at least for some time, you know, you don't have to worry about spending a bunch or if you won't like it or whatever.
One of my big discoveries this year, a lot of people know that I love web series. That's what I spend most of my time on the computer doing is watching web series. I should be working on, you know, my blog or for Anomaly or something, but instead I just watch web series. And one of my absolute favorites is the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. For those of you who aren't aware of what the Lizzie Bennet Diaries are, they are a modern take on the overly reproduced classic novel Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. But in this version, Lizzie, or Elizabeth Bennet, or Lizzie, is a vlogger. And she's 24 years old. She's finishing up her master's. And the main cast of characters includes her best friend, Charlotte, Jane, her older sister, and her little sister, Lydia Bennet. They cut out the other sisters because that's way too many, way too much. And they act out parts of Pride and Prejudice from Lizzie's point of view. Like, Lizzie writes the scripts and things like that. And it's just a really fun web series. And I think it's really, really clever. Also, it seems like some of the girls in the videos might be anomalies themselves. So if we ever get the chance, and I don't know if they would, I would love to interview them. I think it would be really interesting to interview these girls on the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, as well as the creator. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I would love to interview the cast and crew of that, if possible.
It's interesting how often Jane Austen and sci-fi fandoms go hand in hand.
Especially with geek women, mm-hmm. because it's very true, at least with myself, Angela, and the rest of the Anomaly crew. We love sci-fi. We love fantasy. We love pretty period pieces, like pretty period dresses, mm-hmm. especially. And one of my favorite incarnations of Pride and Prejudice is the version with Colin Firth and Jennifer Ely.
Well,
and
I mean, isn't?
I actually know someone who isn't, and she loves the one with Keira Knightley.
What?
I don't know.
Fail.
Emo Bennett. That's what I call her, Elizabeth Bennett, because she's Emo Bennett. Sad Bennett.
Look, the one with Colin Firth has it has Colin Firth in a wet shirt.
And he's in the bath, and then whenever he's around Elizabeth Bennett, he's all sad and broody because he likes her, but he's all proud and...
Colin Firth is pretty.
Yeah, he is. Anyway, back to the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. What I love about the Lizzie Bennet Diaries is it's one of the few times I actually laughed out loud at something. And I don't do that a lot with web series. I don't. I tend to be distracted by a lot of things at the same time because it's the internet. Mm. But I dedicated my focus to one of the episodes and I just guffawed. I don't even use that word. So that's definitely something I recommend. I love the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. I think it's a good show for anomalies.
Interesting. I will stay on the internet track, I guess, and say that I discovered two blogs this year that I cannot get enough of. And, you know, maybe you can call them geeky, maybe you wouldn't think so, but I find it this way, and they're both street photography blogs, which I already find fascinating. Mm-hmm. But one is called Humans of New York, and it's just this guy who walks around taking picture of the people he sees in the city and maybe getting part of their story. And then the other one is the Underground New York Public Library. So it's pictures of people who are reading on the train. And the photographer tries to at least identify the book and the author that is being read in the shot. And it's just sort of fascinating. And even if you don't consider the content, I guess, super geeky, my level of obsession with both of these blogs has certainly turned it into geekiness.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I'm still going to go along the web series thing. And I'm also going to mention, I mean, I already loved cooking, but I didn't discover until last year that there was just this whole sect of geeks that are dedicated to geeky cooking. And people, I'm sure, have listened to our interview with Chris Rachel Osland, who wrote the Dining with the Doctor book. I hope people have at least gone out to look at her other works like Steam Drunks and purchase her books. But there is a show that I just found out about last year called Feast of Fiction. One of the co-hosts, Feast of Fiction, is an actor named Jimmy Wong, and he himself is a bit of a geek. And I feel so bad for not remembering his co-host's name, but she is very pretty, and I will put it in the show notes. Every week, or almost every week, they come up with a new recipe based on a favorite TV show or a favorite movie or a favorite book. They have a recipe for butterbeer from Harry Potter. One of their versions is alcoholic for the grown-ups. They have, there was one that I really wanted to make. Oh, well. Oh, they made Turkish Delight from Chronicles of Narnia. And that looked delicious.
I thought that was a real thing.
They made their own recipe version of it.
Oh, okay.
And Ratatouille from Ratatouille. It's a really great blog. And there are more blogs dedicated to geeky cooking as well. I love anything related to food. I mean, I just talked about having hot toddy and coffee cake during this thing. You can't keep me from it.
Well, I don't know about everybody else, but I am a person who really likes to make lists of things and check things off. And one of the sites I discovered this year helps with that sort of list-keeping mentality. And I actually found it through our friends over at Tuning Into Sci-Fi. And that's a website called episodecalendar.com. And there is an associated app that you can get for, and I think it's on all platforms now, but you create an account, you sign in, and you tell it what television shows you're watching. And you check them off the episodes as you watch them. It will send you an email every day letting you know what's on. It will help you track stuff that you are watching that may have already aired. And I realize I'm a little obsessive when it comes to tracking this sort of thing and keeping on top of what's airing when and checking things off a list. But I have found it incredibly helpful, not only to make sure that I am up to date with all of my viewing, but that, you know, something's not randomly airing on a Thursday instead of a Monday, like Sci-Fi mm-hmm. normally does sometimes. So I have found that app really helpful. And, you know, the way I use it, it is definitely super, super geeky because I watch a lot of TV.
Yeah, I watch a lot of Netflix, which isn't necessarily a lot of TV. But, you know, I try to keep up with How I Met Your Mother and silly shows like that.
But when I was watching Doctor Who mm-hmm. and catching up, there are all right. the specials and the web series and whatever. And this show, or this website, will list them in air date order. So I could go through and make sure that just because it wasn't packaged as part of series, I don't know, 5, I could watch it, make sure that I watched everything in the order I was supposed to be watching it in.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
And I could probably use that for Doctor Who as well. Hmm. Because sometimes I get notifications on Facebook when webisodes are up, but there are also lots of people updating Facebook at the same time. So I could probably use something like that. I have also been getting into geek comedy that's not just Chris Hardwick. I mean, I especially love Moshe Kasher's Live at Oakland comedy show. And it's not strictly nerdy, but he makes a lot of geeky references. He talks about how he just marathoned Star Trek The Next Generation for a month. And
that's like my dream month.
Yeah, and how it made him feel feelings as he was, eating. He was kind of coming apart. He was just like, I'm going to live as a hermit and watch Star Trek The Next Generation.
For the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
He's also, he's raunchy. He's very adult. And it's Netflix, so it's not as if censors can swoop down and bleep him or anything. It's all there. He puts it all out there. And I think he's currently writing for the show The New Normal on NBC.
Oh, yeah. I know that show.
Yeah. And that's a fun show, if only for Andrew Rannells, who was in the Book of Mormon. But yes, Moshe Kasher, Live at Oakland. It's on Netflix. It's great. It's so funny. And it's good to see more comedians out there. That's not just Chris Hardwick and Brian Posehn and Patton Oswalt.
For me, something that became a big part of my media consumption this year was comic books and graphic novels.
Yeah, buddy.
And I mean, I've always been aware of them, but it was never really a thing in my life growing up. Like, I didn't really go to the comic book store. I wasn't looking out for stuff. If I was around one, I would go and maybe pick up a Star Trek The Next Generation comic book and read that one. And I had a friend in middle school, actually, whose dad is a letterer, which is kind of a cool job. But even so, I never really, like, was a comic book reader. But this year, I've just heard so many things about different graphic novels that I'm really starting to get into them. And it's not your standard DC and Marvel comic books that there are, I think most people will admit, some problems with from the feministic standpoint. But, three books that I really enjoyed this year. One was Frey, which was written by Joss Whedon, and it's in the Buffy universe in the future, about a future Slayer, and it was just really, really fantastic. And even in the introduction, he talks about how he wanted his heroine to be a woman with realistic proportions. So, you know, there's not skimpy clothing, there's not, you know, a giant chest, and it was just really, really fantastic storyline. And it makes me want to read Buffy season 8 and season 9 that he has done since. Another one is the Girl Genius books, written by Phil and Kaya Foglio. And they start out a little bit more with, like, oh, the heroine is in her underwear again suddenly. Oh, no. But they get a lot better. You have to get through the first, like, one or two books before you get past that. But the story, it's sort of like a steampunk gas lamp fantasy, where it turns out this the heroine is, you know, long-lost daughter of this amazingly brilliant family, and they had a locket around her neck for years, preventing her spark from igniting, blah, 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 blah. But it's really neat, and then she's battling the forces of evil, and it's just a fun, fun series. And they actually, in addition to releasing the books in print, all of their comics are released on their website. So it's a page a day online, so you can read it all online if you really wanted to, or you can get the books and read them in the print form. And then one other that's a book that actually started this year is called Fatale. And I'm only a couple issues into it, to the first collection that was released. And it's sort of this, like, 1940s era femme fatale who is also immortal, battling, like, the demons of the underworld in the city. Like, it's very urban fantasy, but it has that element of being a period piece as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it just has a really fantastic feeling. And I think Felicia Day might have actually also recommended that on the Flog at one point this year. But as soon as I read the first couple pages of the first book, I knew that I was sucked in to that storyline.
I'm going to have to look into Fatale for sure. But I'm so glad you got into Frey and Girl Genius, because I've been a big fan of Frey. I think it's one of my favorite things that Joss Whedon has ever done, and it's the thing I want to see more of. And Girl Genius, I started reading that in 2011, and then I had to take a break. I guess it's because I was planning a wedding.
might have taken precedence.
Maybe. So I picked up the first book from the library to start over from the beginning, because I got a good ways into it. It's just there were some... The website is great, and it's so awesome that they have a page a day there. But, you know, they even admit to themselves that there are some formatting problems where maybe the page doesn't fit all the way.
Right.
So I'm going to start picking up the books and reading them from the beginning.
And actually, I think they post Monday, Wednesday, Friday, not once a day. That was my mistake.
Oh, but yeah, that made sense in my head. That would be way... I mean, I draw a little bit. That's a lot. That's a lot.
But there are at least 12 books worth of content online. So if you want to pick up with Girl Genius, you've got plenty before you get to the every other day stuff.
Another thing I've been getting really into is anything inspirational or anything related to inspiring production, anything like that, because especially this year I want to get, some artistic projects finally going. And I found a webcomic called Zen Pencils. It's cartoon quotes from inspirational folks is their tagline. And it takes quotes from creatives and authors, artists, philosophers, comedians, and this artist comes up with cartoons based around those quotes. His cartoons are fascinating, and I think he also did illustrations for The 4-Hour Chef, I believe, by the same guy who wrote The 4-Hour Workweek. And there are quotes from Ray Bradbury and Neil Gaiman, Mark Twain, Steve Jobs. It's a great cartoon, a webcomic series to visit whenever you want to get a little oomph to your day. And also Brain Pickings and Lifehacker. They post articles, and Brain Pickings is kind of like a Tumblr and also an individual website where they post anything related to graphic design or inspiration for authors, and they post articles and videos and things. And Lifehacker, I'm sure everyone knows about. I just found out about it last year. I'm late to the game, people. But Lifehacker just helps you hack life.
In general, when I'm confused about something, I hit up Lifehacker.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no idea. When I saw your list, I didn't Google Zen Pencils because I thought it was a drawing thing. I was like, oh, that must be some kind of crazy art business. Like, I thought it was an actual type of pencil.
No.
But no, I actually, when you started talking about it, I looked at the website, and this is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. I really like this website. I try to, whenever there's an update, I immediately go to it. I'm just, like, there. I think one of my favorites is, I know a lot of people don't agree with his opinions, and that's fine. But I really like the Richard Dawkins quote, because I just really like the art that goes along with it, and the basis of the quote is really, really inspiring. And it makes me happy in my heart. Anyway.
You know what? I'm going to sort of bend the rules a little bit here. Mm-hmm. And say that I rediscovered something this year. And
that's fine.
And that would be my public library. At some point, I stopped going to the library. And I don't know why. If it was because I didn't have a whole bunch of time to read during high school or something, or whatever. But at some point in my life, I stopped getting books from the library, and I just started buying all the books I was interested in. And that means that when I moved, I had 15 boxes labeled books, which is a little ridiculous. That's not even an exaggeration. Over half of my boxes were labeled books. But this past summer, I went to my local public library. You guys, they give you books for free. I mean, you have to give them back, but that means they're not taking up space on your shelf. I mean, this is an amazing concept. They give you books for free. And since I was last in there, this was a library in a little shore town in Jersey, and their interlibrary loan has gotten significantly better. They started doing e-lending. There's tons of stuff. So maybe think of this part of the podcast as a bit of a public service announcement. You don't have to buy the book if you're looking for it. You don't have to spend the money. You can still have access to this type of media because, and even you can get comic books there too, and mm-hmm. often DVDs. So you have access to these things for free at your public library. So remember that option is there for you. Use it and support your public library, because librarians are awesome.
Yeah, that's how I've been getting access to a lot of my books recently, because, I'm paying off college loans. I have a lot of money to spare. And I think it's a habit I'm going to continue because I've been using... I rediscovered the library a couple of years ago, too. And I worked in a bookstore and all that. And support your local bookstores, too. But especially support your library, because how many times have you bought a book just based on someone's recommendation and then you didn't like it? now you own a book, like a $15 or more book that you never want, that you don't want anymore.
Yep.
That happened to me with Twilight. So, yeah, support your public library and your local bookstores. That would be nice. I also became a big fan of internet book clubs this year, especially the Sword and Laser podcast with Veronica Belmont and Tom Merritt. And this is probably going to get giggles from people, but I really like the Felicia Day hosted Vaginal Fantasy Hangout on the Geek and Sundry channel. I've started reading some of their books. Because I want to be able to read everything. I don't want to hold judgment against anybody. And they have a lot of interesting discussions about women in books. And they discuss, you know, alpha males in romantic fiction. And they have a lot of interesting discussions. And then they talk about, you know, pretty men. So I guess that works out fine for me. And the Sword and Laser podcast, they interchange the books they read between science fiction and fantasy. And I found out a lot of interesting books through there, and they also interview authors. They interviewed Patrick Rothfuss, who is a favorite of my husband's and myself. I still need to read Wise Man's Fear, but he wrote the first book of the Kingkiller Chronicle called Name of the Wind. And he's very good at writing female authors, too. So
characters, you mean?
Yeah. Yes, female characters. I'm sorry.
I'm a big Tom Merritt fan, personally. But they also interviewed Seanan McGuire, who mm-hmm. is on my list. Technically, I first heard her name and became aware of her existence in 2011, but I didn't start reading any of her works until 2012. And I actually am reading the ones in her horror series that she writes under the name Myra Grant. But it's the same person, Seanan McGuire and Myra Grant. And it's the Feed trilogy, which is about a zombie outbreak. And I'm on the third book now, and it's actually difficult for me to put it down. It's one of the books where, like, I start reading before I go to bed, and then suddenly it's 4 a.m. I'm like, what just happened? But if you are into zombies, even if you're not so much into zombies, because I would never call myself a horror fan, but I enjoy The Walking Dead, and I enjoy this series. And there are some zombie attacks, but it is not all about the zombies. It's more about the relationships of the people who are dealing with the aftermath of a zombie uprising 20, 30 years later. So this is farther on down the road, and it's just fascinating. And it's almost more of a political thriller, and it's following bloggers, which have become legitimate reporters at this point after the rising. So it's fascinating to me, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, the Feed trilogy is on my to-read list, or at least the first book is. And I'm not a zombie fan at all. I mean, one of my favorite movies is Shaun of the Dead, but I had to hide my eyes for most of the movie. And it's a blending of the genres. It's a romantic comedy blended with zombies. And it's also, in a way, it's a drama. Because some dramatic things happen. But I'm not a big fan of straight-up horror, but the Feed trilogy is on my list. And the way you explain it as a political thriller makes me want to read it.
I think you'll really like it.
I hope so. As soon as I get to it, I have a lot of books on my to-read list on Goodreads.
Oh, I know. Mine's, so many books. Mine's at like 460. I know.
Oh, I think there's more on my list. Oh, I need to read faster. Anyway, actually, the book I read last year that I was a big fan of, well, not necessarily read. I listened to the audiobook. It's the same thing. Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. Such a good book.
That's on my list. I haven't gotten there yet, though.
I highly recommend the audiobook because it's read by Will Wheaton, and there are lots of throwbacks to 80s pop culture. Lots of them. I think Star Trek The Next Generation is one of those references, too.
So for anyone who hasn't heard of it, what is the main basis?
The main basis is, it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of it. It's like a sci-fi version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's this weird, here it is. It's a blend of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and The Matrix, where people are kind of aware of, this virtual reality that they're in, but they're trying to play this game to win access to this deceased multi-millionaire, you know, whiz kid guru who has died. And, you know, they have to solve puzzles and, like, it's, everyone's fighting against it. There are corporations trying to take over the company in question. And it's just a really fun read. If you're a geek and you're a gamer, especially, I think you'll enjoy this book. There are lots of F words in it.
Fair warning.
And it kind of reads like a young adult book, but I think that's why I was so engaged, because if it's available to younger readers, it means it reads very quickly, which I like. Yeah, Ready Player One is a great book. And I think the author may have been at Austin Comic Con.
Oh, cool.
For a day. I didn't get to meet him, but I think he may have been there for a day with the DeLorean.
I have one more book that's on my list to recommend, and that is Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore by Robin Sloan. And this book was published in 2012, and I found out about it in 2012. But it started as a short story on the Escape Pod podcast, and it was originally released in 2009. And the story was changed a little bit for the full-length novel, but it is, it's sort of like, I guess urban fantasy is the best way to describe it. The way that it's about people using codes in books to find out about the workings of the universe. So it's a lot of that, you know, knowledge-seeking immortalization business that's going on. And it's just, and it mixes the old with the new, because there's somebody who works at Google who's helping this person who works at this old, beaten-up old bookstore. Old. Say that a couple more times. But it was just one that originally the short story, when I first heard it on Escape Pod, grabbed me. I saved the podcast. I still have it on my computer. And I would listen to it a couple times a year, because I just loved the story so much. And then when I found out that he was turning it into a full-length novel, I nearly cried. And it's fantastic. Highly recommended.
The only things I have left on my list are movies. And I'm going to cover one right now, which is a documentary called Indie Game, the movie. It covers independent video game makers, and it's like one or two people making these games, and they do it over a process of years, and it's very intimate. They work out of their home. At the very beginning, they come off as kind of, I hate to say this, they come off as a little socially awkward. Like, you wouldn't necessarily like them if you met them at first, but as you watch the movie, you really get invested in what they're trying to accomplish. Two of the creators featured created a game called Meat Boy, I think. And there was another one who created a game called Fez, and there was a bit of drama with that one because he was dealing with an ex-partner of his trying to prevent him from releasing the game or something. It was just really fascinating, and you get drawn into these people's stories, and you just hope that it all works out for them. You just want them to succeed at the very end, and you're happy when they do, and you're sad if they don't. It's definitely one of the most emotionally, I mean, I wasn't crying or anything, but it was one of the more emotionally engaging documentaries I watched last year. And I watched a lot of them. I watched a lot of documentaries, you guys.
You know, there's one I just learned about. And yes, I technically learned about it in 2013. But I think between the stuff that we usually talk about it, it's worth covering. And it's called Waking Sleeping Beauty.
I watched that. It's so good.
It is about the state, basically, of Disney animation in the 1980s. And there were like two different factions that were sort of fighting against each other and produced just flop after flop at the box office. And then what had to change and what did change to create what we now think of as sort of a golden age of Disney animation. And it produced things like The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and The Lion King. So it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. And although I technically watched it in 2013, if we're talking about documentaries, it goes on this list.
I really love that documentary. It's so good. And if you get the DVD, in the documentary, they talk about Howard Ashman and Alan Menken and how they kind of turned everything around for the Walt Disney Company. And Howard Ashman gave a lecture about how musicals can work in film. And I think that entire lecture is on the DVD. I think it's like 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And it's so good. So good, you guys. The last thing on my list is another independent film. I don't have a lot of information about it. I'm just going off of what I remember. Last year, my husband sat me down to watch one of his favorite movies, which is called Gamer Dorkness Rising. It's extremely low budget. It's about a group of friends who come together and they play a game of Dungeons and Dragons. The movie is basically their quest, and it's so funny. It's so, so funny because we try to follow their archetypes to the nth level. And then there's the newbie and there's the guy who is chaotic evil, but he keeps calling himself chaotic neutral and he's role playing a girl. Yeah. And he's saying, okay, I have sex with that guy. Roll a d20, done.
That's funny.
It's so funny. I think they had a Kickstarter for a sequel, and I think it got fully funded. So that should be coming out at some point.
I just have two more things on my list. One is MoMath, or the Museum of Mathematics, that opened in New York in December. It's just kind of neat. It's very hands-on, and it even brings sort of some more, not theoretical, but like more difficult to apply mathematics to a more understandable level. And there wasn't even a whole lot of math in nature, which is the stuff you see all the time, but just different shapes and how problem solving works when you math it out, and puzzles and like tactile responses, and it just very, very cool stuff. I, of course, went during Christmas break for a lot of schools, so there were kids everywhere. But if you're into math and you're ever in New York, I highly recommend it. I am a big math dork, though, but it's certainly something that is worth a couple hours of your time. And there's a really good barbecue place across the street. And the other is that I finally started watching Fringe this year, which several people have been bugging me to do for several years, and I had heard conflicting reports and whatever, but I've started and I've picked it up, and I'm really, really enjoying it so far.
I started watching Fringe when it first came out, and then I got rid of the cable. And also, I think I was still in college at the time. I think my viewing during season one got disrupted, but I'm planning on rewatching the series, especially since the series is sadly ending next week, I guess, which is, or this week, dang.
Yeah.
This week, which is January 18th, which is this Friday.
The impetus for me is when it started airing on the Science Channel, and they aired, I think, all of season one in a day. I didn't sit down and watch it, but I set the DVR, and I said, I might as well check this out. And after I watched, you know, two episodes, I watched 15 episodes. So,
and I'm going to check out the DVDs from the library, so...
Yay, library.
Another emphasis for visiting your local library, because they have DVDs too and CDs,
yep.
Which is the things we used to download into iTunes to have music.
Well, we also asked, you know, on the Anomaly Facebook page if anybody had anything they wanted to share. And Sarah, who our occasional co-host, mentioned to us, not on Facebook, but elsewhere, that she started watching Buffy this year. So that is, I feel like that is almost a rite of passage in geekiness,
yeah.
when somebody watches Buffy for the first time. We have a couple more Facebook comments.
Richard says he attended Chicago Comic Con and the local Ren Fair for the first time, and he said both were very geeky moments for him and the family. So I like both of those answers.
And Stephanie, who I believe makes appearances on some of the RenFest podcasts, says that she bought Star Wars stickers for the car, family stickers, and truly began to love Doctor Who over the last year.
Which I love. I highly appreciate that. And I also asked the same question on my personal Facebook page, because that's a good way to get everybody in there.
There you go.
Heather, who is a friend of mine, not a part of the Anomaly podcast, but I know her as a geek. She says that she recently discovered Game of Thrones. Mark, who is also a friend of Jen and Angela, says he discovered the Star Wars Lego sets. He keeps buying them and telling himself that they are for his godson. And he says that that is denial. That is just denial. And Jen said that she discovered Suzanne Collins' novels, including The Hunger Games and Greg the Overlander.
I did not post it on my Facebook wall because I was in Florida. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. I got your back. And another friend of mine said that she discovered Piers Anthony's Incarnations of Immortality series. And I have to admit, I don't know if I'm a big fan of the Piers Anthony, but I also haven't read a lot of his stuff. I hear that Spell of the Chameleon is best, so maybe I'll pick that one up.
So those are our lists. And, you know, if you haven't heard of some of this stuff, maybe you'll check it out. Hopefully you'll agree with us. This is the stuff that we have been enjoying over the last year. Of course, there was certain geek news that happened over the last year. It was a big year in geek news, between the Avengers being a bigger hit than anyone even possibly suspected at the box office, to the announcement that there's going to be a related TV show, to the channels on YouTube, to The Hobbit, to the changes in Doctor Who, to, like, real science, such as the Higgs boson being discovered.
And the Curiosity rover on Mars.
And Netflix, another non-TV network, creating original content. That's huge, really. That, because, I mean, in some ways it's one thing for a group of people to put together a web series, but for a huge distributor, Netflix is a big name, to be creating original content that is not released over cable or broadcast, that's a big deal. And it's a big sign that how we consume visual media is changing.
Yeah. And they just had a big deal with Disney last year. And just recently, they made a deal with Adult Swim and Cartoon Network. So we'll be seeing programming from that channel on Netflix soon as well. It was a big year. It was a big year for the geek.
I think it's really interesting that to see how things are trending, because I don't maybe it's just me, but I don't think people are buying a whole lot of discs anymore, because for a while we were moving in the direction of everybody needs everything on Blu-ray for the highest definition with the biggest screen possible, but now it needs to be as mobile as possible, and people want to watch on their phones and iPads and computers, so. To see how things are shifting in such, really, a short amount of time, a couple of years. It's really interesting, and there's a lot of change happening in that world.
Yeah, we're seeing more changes. I mean, I think I heard, Kevin told me that Redbox is going to have a channel a lot like Netflix.
That was all broken up, I'm sorry.
Kevin told me that Redbox is going to do streaming just like Netflix.
Interesting.
The only difference is that they obviously just cover movies. They don't do TV. So we'll see. That'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, but everybody's getting into the streaming business. In addition to Netflix, there's Hulu Plus, and now Amazon Prime. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you have access to their library, and there's an app for that now. So you can watch that mobily. It's craziness.
Yeah. So we have to be honest. There were of things that we loved about 2012. Was there anything you were disappointed by?
Is there anything I was disappointed by? I don't know, to be honest with you. I actually didn't think much about that question.
Well, even though I only just saw it recently, I found out about the things that happened in a little movie called Dark Knight. And just watching the movie, it may have been the last week of December, actually, when I watched it. I'm not sure. Anyway, I watched it probably at the end of 2012, And I had previously known about the spoilers, and I thought, you know what, okay, I'm going to watch the movie and see if maybe I was correct about some of the things, and I hated all of the things. Hmm.
You know what I was disappointed in 2012 was the fake nerd girl meme that picked up.
I hated that meme.
And
oh my God.
You know, and it's the same conversation we've had over and over again, or really the community has had over and over again, about, are you just faking it for attention? Why would a girl come to a comic book convention and wear these costumes? She just wants the attention. Well, you know, and even the creators are saying these things. And they're dressing up as characters that they created. So it's a little ridiculous. And, you know, I think we all need to remember that when that sort of thing comes up, you're being the jerk that ruined your life in high school. And geek culture is about inclusion. So shut up and don't be a jerk.
Now my Dark Knight comment seems so frivolous. I'm going to admit this now. I love Gersperms. I love saying Gersperms. But I don't like a lot of mean memes because they're incredibly condescending and mean. I especially hate the Willy Wonka one. I want to punch anyone who started... the person who started that, I want to punch in the face.
Yeah.
Because that's my childhood right there, and you're just using it as a vessel for your negativity. So there.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like nerd culture as a whole, once we first started getting together in small groups, it was, yay, there are other people like me. And now that it's a big thing and it's the popular thing, it's like it's starting to segregate again. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is the opposite of what it should be doing. So, I mean, like, don't judge anybody if they get excited about it. Geekiness is about enthusiasm. So, whatever.
We should all try to be inclusive. I mean, I don't like Martha, and that doesn't interfere with anything. I'm okay with people who like things that I don't. We shouldn't be negative towards each other. That is not what being an anomaly is about.
But, you know, there's just such a still an idea that, you know, the geek woman has to prove herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's actually a comic that I've seen several times that appear on my Tumblr over the last year, where, you know, there's a guy who sees a guy wearing a Green Lantern shirt, and he says, hey, cool shirt. And then he sees a girl wearing a Green Lantern shirt, and it's, do you just read Wikipedia? Do you even read the comics? Can you name the Green Lanterns? When did you start reading? It's like we have to pass some kind of test to be taken seriously as a geek, and that is not, in my mind, it's not acceptable, but it hasn't changed.
It could be that the person you walk by is a total hipster and wearing it ironically. Just tell them they have and go about your day. People just need to be nice. Can that be a resolution for everybody this year? Just be nice.
Sounds good to me. So that being said, what's the stuff you're looking forward to in 2013?
Well, I'm calling this year the year of Benedict Cumberbatch. Because Star Trek Into Darkness is coming out. Desolation of Smaug is coming out, the second part of The Hobbit. And while not necessarily geeky, it's theater geeky, he is playing a supporting role in the movie version of one of my favorite plays called August Osage County, which is also featuring this actress named Meryl Streep.
I think I've heard of her.
You sure? I never heard of her. Never heard of her. So it's going to be a big year for that guy. We may see him moving on to big things.
I mean, Star Trek Into Darkness is certainly on my list. I am personally excited because I have a lead on when you can meet Darkwing Duck at Walt Disney World. So,
yay!
That personal goal might be accomplished for me this year. I don't know. I think the big thing on my horizon, the thing that I am almost always looking forward to the most, is Dragon Con. And it's sort of always there. And, you know, the serious planning now that we're in 2013 is probably going to start soon. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm definitely looking forward to new episodes of Doctor Who this spring.
Oh, me too. I'm looking forward to more Doctor Who, and Also, The End of Breaking Bad is coming up. I'm looking forward to that. And there's a series on Sci-Fi that's going to air that I'm going to give a chance called Defiance.
Yes, I've heard a lot about this.
Yes, my husband works for the company that is releasing Defiance. And they're releasing a portion and also the television version at the same time. And they're going to interconnect with each other. Like, whatever happens in the game, whatever affects the game is going to affect the TV show. Whatever affects the TV show is going to affect the game.
Right, but I've heard they're in different parts of the world, right? Like, the show is set in St. Louis, and the game is set, like, in California or something. So they affect each other, but it's not like you're playing the same characters.
Exactly.
That sounds, it's a really cool idea.
It's really ambitious. The makeup for the aliens look incredible. And I think the show is being run by, I'm not sure about this, but I think it's being run by Rockne O'Byrne, who did Farscape. Let me double check that stat to make sure I am right.
Rockne O'Bannon.
Rockne O'Bannon. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes. So that has a lot of scapers really, really excited for it. There's some other stuff on the horizon that doesn't really have a release date yet, but they're turning American Gods by Neil Gaiman into a TV show. They're eventually turning the City Watch books by Terry Pratchett into a TV show. So things that I've sort of mm-hmm. heard about and I want to see, but there's no date. So it's not so much looking forward to as hoping I hear some more soon.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much happening this year that, you know, I mean, it's escaping me right now, but tune into whatever news feed you really like. Oh, Captain Fire is going to be yes. coming out this fall around Thanksgiving. So that should be fun. Mm-hmm. And what I'm definitely looking forward to is the anomaly schedule we have going on this year. Because we have a good lineup, I believe.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. And there are even going to be some round tables with the head honcho anomalies. Yeah.
But the next episode we're doing is one that we were supposed to do quite some time ago. And then weather conditions in life had other plans for us. But we are finally mm-hmm. going to be talking about Casey's favoriteest ever episode of Doctor Who.
Yay! We're going to be talking about Girl in the Fireplace, people.
And that will be probably released towards the end of February.
Yes. So consider it a late Valentine's Day gift mm-hmm. to you all. Because it is one of the more romantic episodes of Doctor Who. Yeah.
And I think that probably does it for us tonight.
It does. I have nothing left to say.
All right. I'm Sue.
This is Casey.
And you have been listening to Anomaly Supplemental.
All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed, right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squaritude's a little too pronounced.
If you wish to contact the Anomaly Supplemental, you can at the email address, which is moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or if you like hearing the sound of your own voice, like I do, you can call the voicemail line at 248-419-GEEK. Yes, it's one of those numbers that you can use alphabets on, and that's 248-419-4335. To stay up to date with Anomaly and Anomaly Supplemental News, you can follow them on Twitter at Anomaly Podcast. That's the at symbol, A-N-O-M-A-L-Y Podcast. That's all one word. Check out the Anomaly blog for geeky articles and Anomaly Supplemental show notes. Find it online at anomalypodcast.com. To meet other anomalies, please join the Anomaly forums. Click on the forum icon at anomalypodcast.com. The theme music is used by permission of Marion Call. Thank you, Marion. Find out more at marioncall.com. Or, of course, you can follow her on Twitter at Marion Call. That's M A R IANCALL. Anomaly was created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. Oh, say that three times fast.
I won't ever play it cool, so I won't ever once be bored. Oh,
I have been a nerd since long before anyone heard that fair and scrawny was the latest fashion trend. And I still be a geek after nobody thinks it's chic.